Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. I'm here with my partner, Andrew Masson, today. Faisal, not with us today, not feeling well. Faisal, if you're listening, we hope you're feeling better soon. Thanks for joining me, man.
Thanks. It's good to be here again.
Yeah, we've got a good show today. I think somebody, I was going to say we've stumbled on the fountain of youth. You and I are clearly not bright enough to figure that part out, but we might have found somebody that stumbled on the fountain of youth. So you definitely want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a guy like you, I mean, mathematically, like, you are super old. Nothing that can be done about that.
Well, I feel that regularly.
Right. But biologically, you actually might be able to reverse that aging process. They might have found something about that. Now, that's interesting.
Does that mean I get to lift more at the gym?
Yeah, well, no. Yeah. You're a superhuman already. Second thing, we're going to hear a little bit about, or from an international best-selling author, about happiness in retirement. And, you know, we talk about that. It sounds almost cliche to say it. But dealing with lots of clients going through the transition into retirement, it's not a given. Happiness isn't a given. And it's going to take some work and thinking to make sure that you're doing the right things and living your life the way that you want in order to achieve that. And there's lots of barriers and obstacles. We see it all the time. So this is going to be a fantastic segment as well. Now, before we get to all of that, let's talk a little bit about this week in the markets. Because they're always interesting. There's always lots of stuff that we're watching and talking about.
Well, it's never boring.
It's never boring, that's for sure. I want to talk a little bit about, so I was doing a lot of reporting this week on market movements, and we had some really weird stuff happen, right? We had the attack on the Saudi infrastructure, oil infrastructure, and boy, that set the markets into a bit of a tailspin for really for about 24 hours. Not sure we're done with the story yet, Andrew.
Well, no, and the oil price shot up.
Crazy. It was 20% at intraday high.
Yeah, it was totally insane.
Yeah, one-day move.
And a one-day move. And you know, there's a lot of implications right here in Calgary, yeah. Especially when people go into the pumps.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was driving in yesterday, and I noticed that the price of the pump, and I was like, hey, you know, it's not up yet. But there was some talk suggesting that price could go up substantially.
Right.
Up to 8 cents. So imagine we're going from like 95 or to 103, 104. That's a big move. And
yeah,
if it's sustained for a long period of time, it's going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, markets, I mean, the oil price reversed course pretty hard. It was up on the week for sure. But the Saudis, a couple of things here. Saudis were pretty effective at being able to replenish the supply. No strategic oil reserves had to be tapped. Interesting. But it did show a big gap in the Saudis' ability to defend that infrastructure. So I'm sure there's some holes plugged or will be plugged, some people thinking about how to make sure they, you know, this can't happen, because the threat is still out there that there are more targets.
Yes.
When Saudi infrastructure. And so what happens aside from, well, let's talk about at the pumps. If prices go up, in Alberta we might like that, right? Western Canadian Select prices go higher, and I get that. But globally, higher oil prices tend to act as a tax.
That's
on the economy, right? It's a tax on you and me if the prices are higher at the pump.
That's right. And it trickles over time into other goods, whether that be the price of produce or groceries, right,
or
through the price of
cost.
Anything it's built, because energy is a driver for almost anything that's manufactured, built, or transported within any developed country.
Yeah, key input cost. So, you know, we'll watch that. It did seem to soften out a little bit, but that is something we can't lose track of over the course of the next month or two as the Saudis really repair that infrastructure. The big story again this week, maybe again it comes and goes, but is central bank stimulus.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I was describing it to a person I was talking to this week as Red Bull or sugar in the international, particularly in the international equity markets. But monetary stimulus, when we talk about that, we've got central banks. So this week we had the U.S. Fed reduce interest rates by a quarter point.
Now, that was widely expected, mind you.
Yeah, I know, for sure. There's some dissension amongst the voting members, which was interesting. So there's some uncertainty there. It's interesting. If a central bank can actually be hawkish on the one hand and at the same time reduce interest rates, I think maybe the U.S. Fed actually did that. So the commentary is largely the same, that the economy seems to be doing pretty well. It's withstanding the shocks. It's a bit of an insurance reduction here against the threat of a slowing economy based on the trade dispute between China and the U.S., but staying highly data dependent. However, It was stimulative, right? They did reduce interest rates, which tends to be sugar into the system, right? Sugar for you know, when we put sugar and you get a bit of a sugar high, we saw equities move higher on that.
Well, and you know, you call it sugar, I just call it free money. That's what it is. Cheaper money, for sure. You know, it's cheaper money. People are more interested in doing it. And what's that driver? Why are they trying to do this? Is really they're trying to keep fueling that U.S. economy to continue to move stronger and harder because it's done so well for so long, and they don't want to let that go at this point in time.
So they weren't the only central bank to stimulate, though. So the we had before the U.S. Fed, we had the European Central Bank the week before. They reduced their overnight lending rate, and they also made it very clear that they stand ready to add additional stimulus. Yes. So that's a little bit more sugar in the system. And then on, I guess it was Thursday night, Friday morning our time, we had China for the second month in a row reduce their lending rate as well. So, you know, there's a little bit more sugar in the system, but it's sugar from each of the three biggest economic trading zones.
That's right.
Right? So most people don't realize that the EU is actually the biggest economic superpower on the planet, not one individual country, but as a group, okay, followed by the United States, which is second but is the biggest country, and then China after that. So you had all the three big economies really providing stimulus and guiding towards more stimulus in some cases, and we saw equity markets moving, you know, moving on that. And that was the big, that's the big story, right, is you're not going to fight the Fed. If they want to continue to supply monetary stimulus, then it's going to probably push things higher. Now, all central banks are asking for the same thing, and they have for a long time. Help us out on fiscal policy, governments, please.
Yep.
Right? So we've got a we've got a monetary system that's fighting all the uncertainty being created by governments, right, around the world.
Right. And I think you have to, you know, what is fiscal policy becomes really the question, right? And so, you know, monetary policy is policy that's enforced by the, by central banks across the world, where fiscal policy is policies that governments across developed nations and all nations for that matter make, whether it be taxation or development wise,
infrastructure spending, whatever, right?
Whatever those things are, in order to boost their economy or boost the production of their economies. So there's different ways of doing it, whether it's reducing taxes, pushing in for further infrastructure development, or adding jobs to that with many variety of sources. Those are all important pieces.
So we had lots of questions, or at least I've had lots of questions recently, you know, with the Canadian election coming up. What effect is the election, the Canadian election, going to have on financial markets? And let me say this to start. It doesn't mean anything in the global scheme of things, okay? So the Canadian election is of no import to the global economy, but of course it is important to us here locally, and it may have some implications on, you know, the performance of our own economy. Just based on what you said,
and that, and there, I think that while the Canadian economy may not move one way or the other way, or on world market stage, there is some benefit to, to new elections or new new opportunities and platforms they take on. So, you know, how are we going to reduce taxation or reduce brain drain? Meaning a lot of people we've seen, especially in Alberta, where they've moved either somewhere else in the country or perhaps to a different country in order to stay employed, and those jobs are going elsewhere. So we're seeing an influx of cash leave the country. What policies could they bring in effect that could actually bring that cash back or repatriate it back to Canada and make us more of an investing hub that we once were?
You know, it's interesting because we feel it very differently in Alberta than perhaps in other parts of the country. The Canadian economy certainly pretty weak in the last quarter of last year, first quarter of this year, starting to pick up pace with a pretty good second quarter and some momentum into the third quarter. Valuations on Canadian companies, you know, significantly lower than U.S. companies. We're seeing the TSX reach all-time highs. Now, part of that's, of course, being driven by oil and gas. Part of it's being driven by the push higher in precious metals led by gold, right, and the mining companies getting a boost.
Yeah, but I'd have to say, I have to remember, if we step back to 2008, the TSX at all-time highs, but not that much from where the all-time high were 11 years ago.
Yeah, but it's interesting because we, again, in conversation with people, people are terrified, particularly in Alberta, about how weak the Canadian economy is. I'll let you decide your own political bent and, you know, where we stand. But the economic data is okay. Yep. And you know what? We get pulled along by the United States, for better or for worse. You know, we're very closely linked to them. So with a strong U.S. economy and decent valuations in Canada and then some you know, commodity exposure with commodities, as I said, precious metals and oil and gas moving forward, certainly oil, you know, we're starting to see a response on the TSX.
Yes.
So we stand ready to make adjustments to portfolios, you know, depending on who gets elected and, more importantly, what policies they want to bring in, right? We're starting to see the platforms presented now. And, you know, what costs those are going to have to the economy and what actually gets implemented. That does have an impact for our local economy. But you got to remember from an investment perspective, there's no limitations now as to where we can invest. It's not like some people still are under the impression that an RSP has to be primarily focused in Canada.
Well, and there was a law for the longest time where it was 15%, then it was 25%, then it was 30%, and guess what? Now there's no limit on foreign exposure.
Right. And so a Canadian, with the push of a button, a Canadian investor can move their money internationally, right? Wherever the best place to invest is, you can go there regardless of the type of account structure that you have. So lots of interesting things shaping up. We'll see how the U.S. and China continue to evolve their relationship. We're at low-level meetings right now. We'll see how we progress to the high-level meetings in October. But we got to wrap it up there. Let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar, which we're going to discuss all this, and then how do we strategize and put a plan in place to get you through these kinds of markets as you retire.
And that seminar is coming up next week, Tuesday, September 24th at 7 p.m. at the Four Points by Sheraton, Calgary West, so across from COP. If you'd like to reserve a spot, then give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400 or at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Don't go away, because after the break, we're going to talk about the Fountain of Youth here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.